Tonight, Brother Sherman Alexander from Lawrence, Texas. Bible is Right is our theme this month. And so he's going to talk about it. The Bible is Right about God. All right, Brother Sherman, it's your time.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. We want to thank God for this opportunity for coming before you all tonight. And we want to thank Brother Tommy Brooks for the foresight that he has had of planning such a program as this nationwide gospel meeting call. We'd like to thank Brother Flonda and Brother Harry Strahl and the Holland Heights Church of Christ for supporting him in all his efforts. This has really been a blessing to many, many people. Many people have had an opportunity to be restored. Many have heard the word and were able to be delivered from the penalty of their sins. And it's been truly a blessing for me. And I am so thankful to have this opportunity to talk to you on tonight about the Bible. The Bible is right about God. You know, just this subject would cause a person to wonder, can anybody be wrong about the Bible? If anybody is wrong about the Bible, is it possible that you can be wrong about God? You know, many times people say things that they have heard, that they have learned to believe, but when you open the Bible up, you can't find it. You can't find what it says about God at all. So on tonight, we want to look at some things that the Bible says about God, because the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. When we look at, first of all, the existence of God, the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning was God. You see, God existed from the very beginning of time, and the Bible says that he created the heavens and the earth. And we can find that there were three that was in heaven. The Bible says it was God the Father, it was the incarnated Word, and it was the Spirit of God. And not only did they create the heaven and earth, the Bible says in Genesis, the first chapter, and verse number 26, let us make man in our own image. You see, they made man in the image of Almighty God. So we can see that the Bible talks about God. And the Bible talks about the existence from the very beginning. So let us talk about I want to look at three different ideas about God. We want to talk about the characteristics of God. Want to talk about also the compassion of God, and we want to talk about the command of God. When we look at God, we need to know that God is everlasting. God has no beginning and no ending. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter and verse number 28, have thou not known, have thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. In Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter and verse number 27, the Bible says the external God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalms, the 90th division and verse number 2, before the mountains were born or gave birth to the earth and world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yes, God is eternal. God is forever. Now, God is alive. In Jeremiah, the 10th chapter and verse number 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. God is alive. I can remember in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus had gone to the coast of Caesarea and Philippi. He asked his disciples, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And, you know, some said he was Jeremiah, some said he was John the Baptist, some said he was Elijah, just one of the prophets. I'm paraphrasing. And he turned to his own and he said, who do you say the Son of Man am? Simon Peter answered, that thou art the Son of the living God. God is alive. And we can see God alive in our lives today. Now, God is all seeing. God can see everything at the same time. In Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse number 3, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding evil, the evil and the good. Boy, I tell you, God is all seeing. Nowhere you can go and hide from God. Job 34 and 21. God is all knowing. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. 1 John 3 and verse number 20. Now, God is all powerful. He's all powerful. There's not a power that God doesn't have in Isaiah, the 55th chapter and verse number 10 and 11. The Bible says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Boy, I tell you what, God is so powerful that he can just shoot the word out. And it's, when it goes out, it's gonna come back with the purpose that God has given for it to go out. It will not come back to God void. Now let's talk about God being so good. You know, God only gives good gifts. Sometimes we wonder why we don't receive this, that, or the other. Well, because God, it might not be good for us. And God only gives good gifts, but we just need to know ain't but one person good, and that is God. Because I hear sometimes people talk about how good somebody is, but let's see what Jesus said over there in Luke 18, verse number 18 and 19. The rich young ruler came to him and said, good master, or teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And first thing Jesus says, why call me good? Only one is good, that is God. God is good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Now, let's look at this love that I tell you, everything is motivated in this world that God has is motivated by love. Love, God is love. In 1 John 4 and verse number 8, he that loveth not God knoweth not God, because God is love. Then the Bible teaches us in Romans 8 and verse number 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God, y'all. Can't nothing separate us from the love of God. But we need to understand And we need to know, even though there's nothing can separate us from the love of God, there are some things that will separate us from his fellowship. And if you want to make heaven your home, we've got to be in fellowship with God. And that thing, that one big thing, is sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sins has he hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, there are some things that separates us from God. But I want you to know something. God has made a way that even though we have sinned, and even though we have fallen short of the glory of God, even though all of these things have taken place, he has so much compassion for us, he has so much love for us, that he made it possible that we can still be saved. And I want you to know, the Bible says in John 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, man. And the Bible says, he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved by him or through him. Well, I want you to know something. God loved us when he created man. Man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and sin was imputed, and death was imputed upon all men. Let's listen to what it says over here in Romans. In Romans the 5th chapter and verse number 12, well, wherefore by as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're talking about Adam. The sin that Adam created, death was passed upon all men. But the Bible says in verse number 19, for as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. So you see, what we lost in Adam, we gained in Jesus. We gained in Christ. And Christ loved the Father so much that he came down here. Now, what was Jesus' purpose for coming? The Bible says in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Romans 3 and 23 tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When Jesus came, he was the image of the invisible God. And he was the image of that invisible God. But when he came speaking everything that the Father told him to say. In John 7 and 16 and John 8 and 26, he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So you see, Jesus came to seek and to save, but God had already told him what to say. He came to please God. And he came that we could be saved, because the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, in Romans 5 and 8, Christ died for us. The Bible says that God commended his love in that. That means God demonstrated how much he loved us by sending his son into the world. Now the question is to us tonight, how much do we love God enough? Do we love God enough to hear his word and to obey before it's everlasting and eternally too late? Now, there was a time when the Bible says that in Luke 19 and 10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Also in Matthew 16 and verse number 18, I want to jump right to it for time's sake. 16 and 18, he said, upon this rock You see, when he came to Caesarea Philippi, and Peter acknowledged him as being the Son of the living God, and Jesus said, "For flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, and I say also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, wait now. He's saying, upon the confession that what you have just made of who I am, I'm going to build my church. You see, the church is not going to be built on Peter. The church is not going to be built on the Pope. The church is not going to be built on me or you. But it's going to be built on Christ. Now, if he came to seek and to save the lost, I'd like to know, if it's all right with you, God, if you can answer me this, how did he do that, and what does the church have to do with salvation? You see, the Bible is right about God, because God wants us to be saved. That's why he sent his Son. But the question is, what does the church have to do with salvation? Is it all right to have different churches? Is it all right to have different churches? Well, let's see what God says, if that's all right with you. In Matthew 6 and 17 and verse number 1, the Bible says Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John on a mountain apart and transfigured before them. And Moses was there, and Peter was there, and he was looking at Jesus speaking to Moses and Isaiah. Moses and Isaiah. And the question was, he said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us build here three tabernacles." Now, you see, a tabernacle was, it was like a church. It was a place of worship. And Peter saw him talking to Moses and Elias, and he saw him talking to him, and he was excited, and he wanted to build a church of Christ. He wanted to build a church of Moses, and he wanted to build a church of Elias. Well, the Bible says, while a cloud overshadowed him, and a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." What are you saying, God? God is saying, listen to Jesus. And what did you say, Jesus? "I'm going to build my church." Well, I need to know, what does the church have to do with salvation? You see, the Bible is right about God. God wants us to be saved. But the question is, are you right about the Bible? Because there are so many churches around. There are so many people going to so many different places. So many people don't understand what the church has to do with salvation. Well, in Ephesians, the second chapter, it makes it real simple for us. Ephesians 2 and verse number 11. Let us go there. Ephesians 2 and verse number 11. The Bible says over here, in Ephesians 2 and verse number 11, "Wherefore remember that you being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh made with hand, that at that time you was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, and even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to making himself the twain, the two of you, one new man, and that you might be reconciled both unto God in one body." Now, I'm going to tell you something now. The body is the church. That's the same church that Christ said he was going to build. That's the church. That's where God reconciled the Jew and the Gentile back to him. From all the sins that Adam had done, Christ came, shed his blood on the cross. The Bible teaches that blood purchased the church, Acts 20 and 28, and now he reconciled in all men. All men can be saved now that obey the gospel. They are reconciled back to God in one body. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see, the church is, the body is the church, and the church is the body. Now, the question is, which one is it? Which one is it? Well, it's the one in the Bible. I submit to you, it's the one in the Bible. Well, which one is that? In Romans 16 and 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, let me tell you something. It is imperative that we understand that we've got to get into Christ before we can get in his church. See, but how does one get into Christ? Well, first of all, we got to listen to Jesus. Jesus told his disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16 and 15 and 16. And he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. You see, a person has to hear the gospel and obey it, Acts 15 and verse number 7. The gospel is the good news, but while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. He was on the cross looking down in history, knowing that we was lost and we needed to be saved. So he died for you and for me and all the sins of the world. It's the gospel, the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And I'm going to tell you, in order to get into Christ, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after believing he's the Son of God, we must repent. God is commanding men everywhere to repent in Acts 17 and 30, Luke 13, 3 and 5. And after repenting, a person got to be willing to confess. Not show sins. I'm so glad to hear that. And many people have said that, oh, God is so good, God, all I got to do is confess my sin to God. You can't believe, you can't find that in the Bible nowhere. Well, you know, they won't run over there to Romans 10, 9 and 10. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus. You see that? Not confess your sins. Confess the Lord Jesus. That means confess who he is. Make an acknowledgement like they said in Mark, in Matthew 10 and verse number 38. The Bible says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall I confess to my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him shall I deny. We got to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts, the 8th chapter, when he came to a certain water and Philip was teaching him, he said, see, here's water. What's stopping you? What's preventing you? What's hindering you from being baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession. The confession we need to make. And after making that confession, we must be baptized. We got to be baptized. We got to be baptized for the remission of all of our past sins. And I'm going to tell you something. After we're baptized, he don't add you to no other church than the one you can find in the Bible. You see, in the Bible, there weren't no other churches. There weren't no other churches at all. There were not another church in the Bible. Jesus said he was going to build his. He said, I'm going to build it. It means one. He built that one church, and guess what? On the day of Pentecost, when they heard the first gospel message, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those being saved. Now look, Jesus hung on that tree of the cross 6 long hours in agony for you and for me. All we've got to do now is open and shedding his blood in his death, that we can contact his death in baptism. We contact the benefit of the death, the blood in baptism. And when we do that, it washes away our sins. We are redeemed by the blood, Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. Then we become a member. And you know something? You can't have Jesus without having a church. The same thing it takes to get in Christ, it takes to get in his church. The Bible says about one spirit, are we all baptized, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, are we all baptized into one body? So you see, it is so important that we understand that we have to be baptized into the church. We have to be baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. By one, we are all baptized into Christ. We become children of God, being baptized into Christ Jesus. Then, if we work, we walk, and we worship faithful until Christ comes in the air, heaven will be our home. You know something? The Bible is right about God. God does love me. God does love you. He loved us enough. He made it possible that we can be saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you're on this call, get back with that person that put you on the call. Tell them you want to be baptized. I found out tonight what it takes to be saved. I want to be delivered from the penalty of all of my sins. I pray on tonight that something has been said that will cause you to examine yourself. If you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. You cannot be in Christ and don't be in the church of Christ, because he died for it and it only. At this time, I'm going to turn you back into the hands of Brother Tommy Hill.